Man, if you are new to Believer's Chapel, you're just checking us out for second week. Man, we're pumped that you're with us today, really. So thankful that you are here. We are so blessed as a church and so blessed to see what God is doing here. And we've started our marriage series, our relationship series. And if you're single in this place, if you're a teenager, if you're a college student or divorced, or if you fall into the category of single, you can't miss this. It's called Love, Joy, and Peace. We started last week. If you're married, obviously you can't miss a service of this. And last week was to the men. And man, if you missed that last week, please go to livingouttruth.com or just go to Believer's Chapel Allegheny. It'll show up. Listen to that message last week. That was a powerful message to men that we are trusted to lead. And do you have that trust? Have you gained that trust to lead your families? And this week, I've had many men say, well, is it not good? Are you going to talk about my wife today? Nope. We're not talking about the ladies today. Today, we're talking about priorities. And this is a priority check this morning. Because to be honest, most of the time I sit down with people, whether it is marriage or otherwise, their problems stem from them having their priorities out of order. That's where most problems stem from, is not having the right priorities in the right order. And somehow priority got out of line and it got out of whack somehow. And then that just causes a trickle effect to cause issues and problems and confusion. And just, you can't have a home full of love, joy, and peace when you're confused and your priorities are out of whack. And the thing is this, is when you get your priorities out of whack, it causes a distance between a husband and a wife. And it causes the husband and the wife to drift and to be apart because they've allowed different things to take the place of the top priority. So, man, I need you to really plug into this morning. I'm asking you, please, if you're here, I need you to listen. I need you in that we walk out of this place after amazing sense of his presence and worship. We walk out of this place changed because this right here is God's guideline to marriage. And we talked about it last week. If we buy into a lie of that whole 50%, well, Sean, 50%, it's in the church too. You know, 50% of the church and 50% of the world. Man, I got 50% chance. Yeah, by the world standards, you do. If you want to go by the world's rules in marriage and relationship, good luck with that. You have about a 50% chance. And that's just 50% of divorce, let alone the rest of them who are just miserable and just hanging in. Or if you honestly, I believe this, if you do it God's way, you have a 100% chance of a home that is full of love, joy, and peace when you honestly begin to lay down yourself and understand what it is to have the priority of God first in our home, the priority of this first, and I will follow this first. And understand, if I want God's results, God set up marriage, man. He is the creator of husband and wife. He created it for two people to become one, for two people to do life together, for two people to share all things and come to a place to understand, even in this, if we do it God's way, we get God's result. And when you understand, if I do it God's way, I'm going to get God's result, and that's 100% chance. And man, that's where we want to be. We want to ditch the 50% and come to a place to say, if I'm single, I have 100% chance of getting it right if I do it God's way. Come on, let's pray. God, please speak to us today. God, please speak to this service. Every one of us that's in this place, God, speak to us. God, that we would hear from you today. We would truly be able to set aside the day, set aside even the different things that are going on and come to a place to so focus. Husbands, focus. Wives, focus. Singles, focus. Teenagers, pay attention. College students, plug in. God, that we would hear from you today. Speak to us. God, pinpoint this message to our hearts. Folks, I ask that you would ask God, God, speak to me today. Today. Right here. Right now. God, speak to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, turn with me to Ephesians 5. As you look at this, I want to cover what the priorities are. First, the priority is your faith. That's number one priority is your faith, your relationship with Jesus. That's top. Listen, I know as Renee's husband, her first responsibility as a woman of God is Jesus. That's the first responsibility. My first responsibility as a man of God is Jesus first. And then it's husband and wife. And then it's children. And then it's work. And then it's church. All of those, and all of those, we need to do life together. But I want to give you an example. Can I use, Mike and Vicky, can I use you guys for an example, please? I need you guys front and center right here. Excellent. I need, we'll take all three of the kids. Perfect. Come on. Yeah, I need you guys right over here. Mike, and then Vicky, and then the kids. And then Renee, you're going to be work, Renee. You're going to be work. Tony, I need you, bro. You'll be working. Renee's, she's going to be church. Awesome. You're the church. I could make you one of their kids. You're like 18. All right, you're right here, bro. Come on. Excellent. Okay, this is the deal. When you get this right, this is the proper order. Biblically, this is the proper order. You've got faith first right here. You got to see this. Boom. This is automatically first top priority. And the thing is, all of these are good. Priority, husband and wife, kids, work, church, all of them important, necessary priorities. But this is the right order because if you get them out of order, this is when the drift begins to happen. So right here, first and foremost, when a man understands my priority is Christ, my priority is the foundation of the Word of God, and my first priority is to obey God, obey His Word. So therefore, when a man, get this now, when a man does that, when he understands, God, you have commanded me to love my wife just as Christ loved the church. That's a command for you. So when Vicky starts, you know, not respecting her husband, not like she would, but if she ever came to a place and say, you know what, I'm just not going to respect him, because that doesn't give Mike an idea to say, well, because she doesn't respect me, therefore I don't have to love her. No, you missed your top priority. Because if I am going to be commanded by God first to love Renee as Christ loved the church, then that's not a condition of how Renee or how Vicky responds to Mike. You understand that? Because so many times we go in this vicious circle, well, I'm not going to love her because she doesn't respect me. I'm not going to respect him because she doesn't love me. And we have missed the priority. If this truly is, as a husband, top priority, I belong to you first. I walk in obedience to you first, regardless of how she's acting. I am still going to love her unconditionally because you're my first priority. And when we understand that, the basis of what God commands us as husband, the basis of what God commands us as wives, well, even though he's not loving me like he's called to love me, because I am obedient to him first and I'm responsible before him first, I'm still going to honor him and respect him even though he won't do his part. I am obliged by God to do my part and I'm not getting out of that. That's huge. When you can wrap yourself around that, it's worth being here just for that, when you understand the priority of him first, my relationship with God first. And then we come to a place to have this relationship where the Bible says in Ephesians 5, it says in Genesis 2, and it says it in Mark 10, that two become one. They're no longer two, but they are one. When you understand the husband and wife and their relationship together are called to be one, and there's a covenant. God said, I've given you a covenant to my people. And then God says there's a covenant between husband and wife that the two become one. But the problem happens in this so many times that we have Vicky come over here, and then we've got the kids coming in here. And then for a season, this is good because we have two kids. But then all of a sudden, you got Mike and Vicky. What happened? They became where the children became a priority, and it came between. Listen, it happens all the time, where children become a priority in the home, and they are a priority in the home, but they never split or never take the place of two becoming one. They never take the place. Never are we called to be married to our kids. Never are we called that we are one with our kids. And then, boom, we have another one right here, and bang. And then all of a sudden, look at the drifting that took place, because, man, 18, 19, 20, they're out of the house. And then Mike and Vicky are looking at each other going, man, you seem so far away. Like, how did this happen? When did the drift happen? It happened right here, when we thought that we were married to our kids. God says that faith, man, that's 24/7, that's permanent. Husband and wife, that should be unchanging, and that's permanent. Kids are seasonal. They come and they go. We teach, we train, we send. That's the proper picture. But how many times when these kids show up, listen, Carter knew, man, he was my first child. I didn't even know he was a son. We only found out on one of them what the gender was going to be. So I'm just like, whoever you are, you're third on the list. Like, I'm talking to the womb, like, you're third, dude. Or young lady, or whomever you would be, just so you know the proper pecking order, it is Christ, and then it is Renee, and then it is you. Done! And I tell you what, my kids know. They know that Renee is more important than them. Priority means something that's more important than the other. That's what priority means. And honestly, my three kids, they know that Renee is more important to me than they are. They are seasonal. We're going to love them. We're going to teach them. We're going to train them. We're going to send them. And then, you know, if they want our advice after that, bonus, awesome. But if not, they are called to leave their mother and father and be joined to the husband, and the two shall become one. Amazing. Be joined to the wife, and the two shall become one. And then they do their own life. And what an example that is, when a husband and wife set the standard, say, you are third on the list. Now let's get back in the right order here. Come on. So there's no drifting happening. What happens with work? So we have work. What happens when a man just is a workaholic and he's a workaholic and he puts work right up here, man. He puts work right in front of the kids and says, listen, work becomes more important to me, and I'm going to work, and I'm going to have as much. I'm going to have my five cars for a three-family home, and I'm going to have the big white fence. And I'm working. And your kids are just like becoming more distant. And then all of a sudden this happens, and then all of a sudden work becomes a priority because I'm supposed to be the man of the house, and I'm supposed to be providing, and that's what I'm doing. And then you bring work home for you. You go to work, and then you bring work home, and then all of a sudden everyone's looking saying, Dad really likes work more than he really responds to the family. And then Dad becomes married to his work when he's never supposed to be that way. He's supposed to be married, and here we're supposed to be the proper picture of this, and then the kids, and then the work, and then here is the most amazing looking church on the whole planet right here. Folks, I honestly believe that it is harmful to a marriage when they aren't plugged into a Bible preaching church. Or they're not. I know, unfortunately, marriages that don't even go to church together. How is it that when you walk out of a service like this, where you've just worshiped God and been in His presence together, and the husband and the wife are hearing the same word week after week, and they're plugging in to home groups, and they're plugging in to relationships in the church, and they're plugging in, how harmful is it then? Well, you go to your church, and I'll just go to my church, and we'll call it good. No, you've missed the whole idea of two becoming one, and it's no longer about you, and it's no longer about me, but life becomes about us. What happens when we allow things to get into the way? We allow things to separate us, and it can be so subtle at times. When you look back and you're like, where did this drift come from, man? Where did this distance come from? Because we missed our priorities. You guys can have a seat. Thank you. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Amen. But honestly, what happens, though, when we don't get things in right order? Come on, turn to Ephesians 5 with me, please, because this is what we see in this. We see in three places that God calls us to be one in marriage. You know what that means? That means that it's not about you. It's not about me. Life becomes about us. And when you have the picture of we are always together, man, we are one, everything comes out, even the things that are very important. Obviously, children are a huge priority. Work is a huge priority. Church is changing lives. It's a huge priority. But the fact is this, there's two constants here between a husband and wife and our faith. Those are unchanging. Children are always changing. They come and they go. Work is constantly changing. I mean, Renee married a full-time cop. She didn't marry a pastor. This was way, I mean, how many people have, since you've been married, you've changed jobs, you've changed locations, church. That you find a great church, there's times that you will move because of a job or whatever case, you have to find another church. All these three are all conditional. They're all always changing. But not the faith and not the two becoming one. These two are unchanging. The rest are changeable. So what are we spending more time with? And where is it that we do? Honestly, can I ask you a question? Do your kids really know that they're third on the list? Do they know that? Have you come to a place to release your kids? My man Carter, he turns 18 this upcoming week, and it's just like, wow. Like when we just don't understand, time doesn't stop for me. And it just goes and it goes and it goes. And if you are not on top of your priorities and keep your priorities on top, you're going to turn around and say, where did 18 years go? And you begin to realize that every moment matters. Every priority counts. And if we really understand this, look at Ephesians 5, verse 31 says this. For this reason, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The two shall become one flesh. It's no longer about Sean. It's no longer about Renee. Life becomes about us. It's no longer about my bank account. It's no longer about Renee's bank account. It's about our bank account. If you take your money and you take her money and you put it in one big pile and shuffle the bills and say it's ours, it's no longer about your car. It's no longer about her car. It's about our car. It's about our home. It's about our kids. It's about our finances. It's about our world. Because two become one. I even used Renee's toothbrush this week. It was awesome. Brittany got a show. That was fantastic. I'm like, listen, you make out with me, but I can't use your toothbrush. I don't understand. Like two become one. I mean, what's the issue? Anyways, awesome. I made out with the church. Woo! Excellent. Okay, but we look at this. Come on, look at this. Verse 32 says this. The mystery is great. I love what he says in Ephesians 5 here. The mystery is great, but I'm speaking in reference to Christ and the church. He gives us this incredible picture from the time that we got engaged into our marriage, and then for the last 22 years plus of marriage, we've looked at our marriage as it's bigger than us. When you really see your marriage as a priority, it's bigger than you. Because here, Paul says this in Ephesians, that this is what I'm talking about, that the outside world will look in and see a picture of what they can have with me. That's what Christ says. If they look at Renee and I, and they look at our marriage in a place of love, joy, and peace, in a place of love and respect, and we're functioning in the right order of priority, the Bible says this. This is what he's talking. If you read Ephesians 5, Christ in the church, Christ in the church, Christ in the church, Christ in the church. The mystery is this. I'm talking about Christ in the church. The amazing thing is, the picture that he sets up for Christ in the church is a husband and a wife. Powerful. Powerful picture. And when you begin to realize that it's bigger than you are, and it's bigger than you think it is, when you can be the picture that the neighbor needs to see in husband and wife, you can be the picture that the world needs to see in husband and wife that they can have with Christ. It's bigger than you. And it's a priority. Come on, Mark 10. You can turn to Mark 10, please. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Mark 10 says this. Again, it's repeated in this. Here you got the Pharisees. They're picking on Jesus. They're trying to test Jesus. They're trying to trap Jesus. And you come to a place where Jesus says this in Mark 10, verse 5. And Jesus said, they're asking him about divorce. Jesus said, because of the hardness of heart, that Moses write you this commandment of divorce. But verse 6, this is what Jesus says. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two, look at this, the two shall become one flesh, so that they are no longer two, but they are one. Is there anything, seriously, that you can say, listen, she goes her way, and I go my way, but we're okay? No, God says they're no longer two, but they are one. And then he says in verse 9, what God has joined together, what God has cleaved together, what God has put together, what God has glued together, let no man separate. And I love that Jesus says right from the beginning, because you go back into Genesis 2, it's the same thing. Go back into Genesis 2 where Adam's alone and God says, not good for you to be alone. I'm going to make a helper that's suitable for you. And then he puts, this is a crazy story, man, puts Adam to sleep, rips his side open, pulls his rib out, gives it to a woman, creates this amazing woman. Adam wakes up and's like, bada boom, like, whoa, who is this? And then this is what God tells them, that in the same way, he says this, that you shall leave your father and mother and be joined to your wife, and the two shall become one flesh, and they are both naked and unashamed. Dang, when you really try to wrap your mind around that, Adam and Eve didn't have a mother and father. When you understand that marriage, the oneness, the power of one, the unity of marriage is rooted right in the depth of the roots of creation. When God created man and woman, he created them together in one so that they understood the priorities is us. That's our priority, and we are going to do life together. Good seasons, bad seasons, ins, outs, seasons of life, kids, no kid, whatever the season, what the thing we know we're going to do is we're going to do it together because we're one. And that's a priority. And God set that in order right in the very beginning of creation. When he created male and female, he said they shall leave. So he's given us a prophetic word through Adam and Eve, because Adam and Eve didn't have a mother and a father, but he's setting the order straight right from the very first husband and wife. Amazing when you see it this way. Amazing. When you really see that what we have today in a picture of husband and wife was set up from the very beginning and rooted right in creation. For a husband and a wife to be one. So let me ask you, man, is there anything that has come between you that's caused you to drift? It was funny, true story, we're getting on the plane and we're going from Atlanta to Dominican. It's about a 3-hour flight or so. And for some reason, I had the aisle seat, Renee had the window seat, and there's a woman in between. Whatever they set that up, that's fine. She's like kind of grandma type, and I was just talking to her. I said, listen, this is my amazing wife, and I'd love to sit with her, but if you have a problem with that, just so you know, I'm going to hold your hand for the whole flight. And she laughed, and she understood. But what is it when something comes between you? What is it that get things out of priority, whether it is your children, whether it is work, or whether it is you go to your church and I'll go to my church and we'll just call it good? I feel I need to talk to the single people that are in this place. If you're in high school, if you're a college student, even if you're divorced and broken and hurting from just one of the most painful things that someone has to go through. If you, being single, say, God, you will be my top priority. If you set the order of priority right now, then you will look at your circle of influence. God says, man, it depends on who you're hanging out with and how the outcome is going to be. The companion of fools will suffer harm. That's what the Bible says. The companion of fools. What is, if God is a priority, who is that you're hanging out with? Look at this. 2 Corinthians 6 gives us an amazing picture. It says, do not be bound together or do not be unequally yoked. And yoked is a symbol of relationship because he gives us a symbol of yoke for a husband and wife that they are together under a yoke like two oxen would be, that when one goes, the other goes. And when one falls, the other's there to pick the other up. You're bound together. And God says, if you are keeping priorities right as one who is single, you're going to follow this. And God says, do not be yoked or don't be bound to an unbeliever. I mean, this is so critical to you who are single. If you're saying, I'm going to set the order straight and say, God, you are my priority. I'm going to walk in obedience to this, and I'm never even going to date somebody that isn't the same as me in their love for Jesus. Because please understand this. I guarantee you, you're going to marry someone you date. Guaranteed. And if you begin to play around with saying, well, I'm going to date this person, but I'm not going to let it get that far. What? Then you get emotional, and then you get attached, and then bad things happen, and then you just feel like it's... I mean, I had this talk with someone in Dominican this weekend, this week. A young lady who was there is a firewoman. She's opening her up to me for some reason. I'm just sharing with her, like, why would you even... You're 7 months in. If you go to a year and a half, you're going to marry this guy, and you got to look at where you're going to be in 5 years, and it's danger zone, because God's got to be the priority. God has to be the... And if he's the priority in your life as being single, then you're going to look at this and say, God said don't. Do not be bound. What business? The Bible says this, 2 Corinthians 6, what business does a believer have with an unbeliever? What business do you have with that being yoked together? What business does one who's worshiping Satan have to do with someone's worshiping Christ? What business do those two have to be together? What business does someone of light have to do with somebody of darkness? What business? They can't mix. They can't be together. I mean, when God gives such a strict warning, and if you're single in this place and you say, God has to be my priority. I have to set the order straight that God's my priority. If you're in a relationship with someone who does not love Jesus, then I'm asking you, what's your priority? You will be honest with yourself and you say, it's time to release this person. Because God, I need to trust you without borders. And God, I know that you are great. And God, there'll be a day that you will bring me a godly man. God, there'll be a day that you bring me that amazing godly woman who loved you before I showed up. Because this was the problem with this young lady I was talking to, Dominican, where she's like, I've been talking to him, and I'm trying to pray with him. And I'm like, you know what? He's going to be falsely converted just to please you. And then when you marry this guy, things are not going to go well for you. Because he's doing it for you, and it's not the conviction of sin. There's a huge difference. When you understand as a single what it is to keep God as the priority first now and learn that now and come to a place to say, God, I'll do it your way. And I trust that you bring someone into my life. Come on. What happens when you really walk in a sense of having a relationship with a husband or wife that looks like a picture of Christ in the church? Do you realize how effective you can be? Do you realize that we are called to be ministers? Do you realize we're called to be evangelists? Do you realize we're called to set a picture straight of what the world can have with Christ? And he sets a stage, an amazing picture for us as husband and wife to set that standard. So where are we in this morning? Where are you in your priorities? Are you one who looks at work and say, I think work is so important for me? Man, honey, I'll get to you in a little bit. Children, it's all good. I'm the provider. I'm taking care of you. But I don't need to go to your games. I don't need to spend too much time with you because I'm the priority. And then work becomes an idol for you. And it's drifted you from your wife and your kids. Isn't it powerful? Isn't it beautiful when you can come to a church that both of you love and you come to a church that you can plug into and you can grow together, hear the same word, worship together, and then your kids are coming and then you're going to the Bible studies and you're going to different places together and you understand what this amazing picture looks like of doing life together and keeping our priorities right, knowing that time just keeps going. And man, if we don't get it right quick, we're going to look at each other and say, where have you been? How have we gotten so far apart? Does your wife know that she is your MVP? Gentlemen, does your wife know? The Bible says in Proverbs 31, an excellent wife, who can find? It means she's rare. Does your wife believe that she's rare? Have you treated her in such a way that she knows that she is your MVP? She is your most valuable person in the world. Above the kids, above work, above church. Man, honey, you're it. An excellent wife who can find for her worth or her value is far above jewels. There's nothing that compares to you. The kids don't compare to you. Work doesn't compare to you. Hobbies don't compare to you. Church doesn't compare to you. There's no one and nothing that compares to you. You are that worthy to me. An excellent wife who can find for her worth, her value is far above jewels. The heart of her husband can trust in her. And he will have, get this now, he will have no lack of gain, for she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. What happens when you speak value into your wife? What happens when she knows, man, she is your MVP? There's nothing and there's no one that takes her place. There's no distance. We're here. You're right here. Here's God. Here's us, because we are one. And then there's everything else. It benefits the man, for he will have no lack of gain. For she, when she knows that, man, when you've done that, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She will be so committed to you. Man, this is how God made us, man. This is how he designed it. 100% chance. Because that's how God created us. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:5, I love this. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. Man, does she know that she is your priority? Does she know that she is your crown? And the word crown here, it means victory or celebration. Does she know that she is your... Do you celebrate your wife or do you tolerate your wife? Men, we're called that she would know that she is our victory. That she is our celebration. An excellent wife is the crown. Man, is she your priority? But then the Bible says this, but she who shames him is like cancer to his bones, is like a disease to his bones. Wives, do you honor your husbands? Do you speak life into your man? Because you're either his celebration or you're his cancer. You know what it does to degrade your husband? You know what it does to question your husband in public? You know what it does when you try to one-up your husband? You're just causing cancer to his bones. Like we're in the airport. Amazing. My wife was on a different level in the airport, man. It was amazing. And I'm with her. And you know how you go through, walking through, and here I've got a green shirt on. And she's way over here. And she says, that man over there, the Hulk with the green shirt. I'm just like, that's my woman. Yes. I mean, you just, but when I'm telling wives, when you speak to your man like that, that's air, man. That is breath. That is like, wow, yes. So honestly, what is your order of priority here? Why have you come to a place to respect him? Does he know that my wife respects me? She honors me. Do you celebrate your wife? Does she know her value and her worth because you speak it and then you act it? It's not just lip service. You are acting like she is your MVP. And there is nothing, man. There is nothing that comes between us. It is this first. Renee knows it and I know it. And then it's us walking in obedience to this, regardless of the other one does, because this is my priority. And then the kids know they're third on the list. You should want your kids to know that. Because you're setting the standard, man. You're setting an example of a home that they will grow up into. That they will have such a marriage and such a relationship I want Carter and Ethan to marry a woman like their mom because she set the standard. I want Olivia to never say yes to anyone until they value her as I value her. Never. To understand the proper order. So that when they go off and God brings in that right person, they go off and get married, they understand the standard is it's about us. We are one. And I'm not going to let anything in between that. I'm not going to cause the drift. Listen, your kids are great, but they shouldn't come between you. Work is important, but it shouldn't come between you. Church is great, and you should do it together. Come on, let's bow our heads, please. Husbands, grab your wife's hands. If you're single in this place, man, I hope that you heard it today, that you would keep God as a priority. In every decision that you make, you go to God first. And we've had a powerful service from worship to word. What is it that's caused the drift? Where are your priorities this morning? Do you stand on the Word of God as the foundation? Say, He will always be my first. And I will obey Him regardless. No matter what, I will always walk in. I will do my part. I will always do my part because God comes first. And my obedience to Him trumps everything else. I will always do my part regardless of what they do. I will always do my part. Could you imagine if both husband and wife functioned in that just alone? I will always do my part no matter what because I obey God first. Wow. Where are the kids in your marriage? You're not married to your kids. You're not one with your kids. You raise them, you release them. You raise them, you release them. A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined, be cleaved, be connected, be glued to his wife, so the two become one. There's no longer two, but there's one. And what God joined together, let no man separate. Don't let anything between you. Don't let finances come between you. Don't let work come between you. Don't let kids come between you. Don't let other people come between you. Where's the drift? Father, we just ask in Jesus' name in this moment that as husbands or wives are in this place, God, that you would really speak into our hearts where the drift is. And if we're out of order in our priorities, that God, that we would talk to each other. It can happen so subtly that we look at each other and we're so distant. God, we didn't even recognize the drift taking place, but there's a day that it just shows up. And I pray as men, we would talk to our wives. As wives, we would talk to our husbands. And we come to a place today, right now, to make a decision we will reprioritize. Today, we'll have a priority check. And we'll see where we're at, and we'll close the gap. Today we close the gap. Today the drifting ends. Today it becomes about you. Father, it becomes about you in Christ. And today it comes about us. It's about us. Today we begin to do life together again. In Jesus' name. Folks, if we could stand and just one more time, really connect with God in song, please.